Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Talk Productions, which presenting Black Urban America. I'm your host, Kenny Jones, which airs Tuesday evening from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. or Saturday. We have Provocative Thought by Carlton Sneed. His show airs from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also, in 2 weeks, We Talk Production will have a new show starting on Friday evenings in 2 weeks, her name is April Jones, and she will be discussing child development. Now, before I bring you on the guests, I would just like to share with you is that We Talk Production provides a platform for community people around across the country. And now we are reaching out to the community for advertisers and sponsors, for entrepreneurs and small business owners. If you're interested, you could call 404-482-4802. Now, we will guarantee that you'll get exposure, and with the right marketing between the partnership between you and We Talk Production, you will have increasing sales. Now, tonight, I bring to you a special guest. And I'd like to first thank her for taking time out in her schedule. She's a very business woman, a very busy woman. Take time out of her schedule to come to you to educate you about what she does. She is a doctor of trichology. She is a business owner. She's an international educator. She's a guest columnist. And also, she's a radio and television personality. She owns LA Hair Scalp. LA Hair Scalp Productions. Dr. Amazon.
It's LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic.
Scalp Clinic.
Yes.
Well, she's already here. Dr. Emerson, I really appreciate you for taking this time to come on my show. And I am very honored and excited to have you on this show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Kenny. Thank you so much. Also, before you go into it,
I would just like to tell the audience who listening by notepad and computer, you can dial 909-265-9215. If you have a comment or a question, please press 1. And I mean, read the numbers. You guys listen to the show, but you don't really want to make comments or call in with questions. And that's what platform is all about, is discussing different ideas. Now, Dr. Emerson, I would just like to ask you this. You could have been just like any other medical health professional, you know, open up their office, have their patients, send their patients home, but you educate the community, you educate the nation and the world about scalp treatments. Why you just want to spread this information?
That's a very good question. Thank you so much for asking that. When it comes to educating, you know, education is power. And many consumers, when they have a problem with hair loss or scalp conditions, for so many years they've just been covering it up, either with a wig or some type of hair system, with caps when it comes to men, or hair systems for men and women. So there's just been a lot of miseducation, thinking that many consumers think, well, all types of hair loss conditions are in the same category. So this has been a misconception for many, many years. So my goal is to educate the consumers, to let them know, look, we take each person on a case-by-case basis in our clinic. And that is so important, because sometimes when a person has, for example, hair thinning, it can be from so many contributing causes. It could, for example, be from a nutritional deficiency. Sometimes it could be due to medication. Sometimes it could be due to crash dieting, surgical procedures. So that's why it's so important to know specifically what affects each person individually, so that the right solutions can be administered to try to correct that specific form of alopecia or scalp disorder condition. Now, everyone who comes to me does not have a hair loss condition. I did want to make that very clear to your listening audience today. So some clients come in with complaints of dry, flaky, oily, itchy scalp conditions, lesions on the scalp, tenderness, burning, crawling sensations on the scalp. So that is totally different than a hair loss condition. So we need to get to the root of the problem and find out what's causing these types of scalp conditions to properly address that per individual. So with my expertise as a doctor of trichology, it's very, very important to get to the root of the problem.
Now, in the beginning, you cite some of the causes. Out of the four causes, two of them had to do with foods, nutrition and crash dieting. You mean to tell me that the foods we eat, the foods that we put in our body, or we trying to become slimmer, may cause problems with our hair loss and scalps or what have you?
Well, when I say nutritional deficiencies, that could be from not getting certain types of nutrition through your food,
okay,
or not taking supplements in addition to trying to eat healthy.
Well, what's some
and
of
then,
the
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, doctor. Go ahead.
Okay, and then also I wanted to address your other question about the crash dieting. Yes, the crash dieting, that is a major factor with a lot of our patients who have hair loss issues. And then there are the surgical procedures as well that are very, very popular. So many consumers are trying to have that quick weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
So they are choosing to have the gastro bypass or the all the other options surgically to lose that weight.
So so tell me something, tell my audience about some of the treatments that you may provide for your patients or your consumers that come to the clinic.
Okay, so once we actually diagnose what the problem is, the treatments are going to vary. We have some treatments are topical for the more severe scaly scalp conditions, for example, for light therapy treatment that we use in some cases as well. We use other types of stimulation type treatments as well that have been very, very effective with some consumers. And then on the other hand, we have to refer some of our patients to a psychiatrist, for example. There's a common condition known as trichotillomania, and that is a type of condition where a person has a compulsion to pull out their own scalp hair.
Oh, okay.
So we refer them to a psychiatrist because there is an underlying reason as to why the person is pulling their hair out. So I can only do so much as far as treating that hair. But if they come to me for the treatment only, and then once they leave my office and go home and continue that cycle of what they've been doing, that's not a resolution. So we will in turn, refer them to a psychiatrist, and then we can also treat them. That way, the patient is getting the maximum benefits of what they need to help to restore their hair loss as well as what's causing them to pull their scalp hair out.
Can stress cause, like while you speak, I'm thinking when you say pull your hair out, can stress cause your hair to prematurely, you know, lose your hair prematurely?
In some cases, yes. There are different types of stress. There's the manageable stress, then there is the chronic stress. Individuals who deal with the more chronic stress are more susceptible to having an increase in shedding of the hair, as well as patchy alopecia in some areas, which is known as alopecia areata, as well as other forms of alopecia. So, yes, that really can cause a lot of different health conditions when that stress is not managed.
What usually happens to your scalp if not treated? You just go completely bald, or what? Or you just keep bald, your scalp keep itching, or dry hair?
That again is a case by case basis. If there is a severe itchy scalp condition, and if a person does not have that addressed, and they continue to scratch profusely on the scalp, that can definitely cause hair breakage. It can cause inflammation to the scalp, irritation, just a very uncomfortable feeling of the scalp. And so that can lead to some other very severe conditions. So definitely, as soon as a person begins to have these type of symptoms that are just unusual, they need to seek the expertise of a board-certified trichologist to assist them.
Now, you know this is an African-American platform, so I'm about to ask you concerning my culture, our culture. Is this a common issue among African American men and women? And if it is, why is it?
In certain conditions, I will say yes. There has a tendency to be a higher percentage of African Americans that are affected with certain forms of hair loss than other cultures. And then also there are other cultures that have a higher percentage than African Americans in certain conditions. But across the board, there are 90 million Americans who are affected with some form of hair loss or scalp condition.
Did you say 90 million?
90 million.
You said 90 million.
90, wow. Yes, almost a third of the American population, which is 300 million.
That's more people that voted the last election. That's more people that have some form of scalp condition that voted. Wow.
So let me break that number down.
You know, I always thought, Doc, that, it was just a part of our DNA. You know, my father went bald at a certain age. I go bald at a certain age. My grandfather went bald. Ladies, when they get a certain age, their hair's short and whatnot. I thought it was just biological. I guess I was wrong about that.
Yes, see, and yourself and several other consumers have probably thought that as well. But that's not always the case. Maybe in some cases there are genetic factors, but not in all cases.
Whoa.
So let me break down that 90 million statistics for you. So there's 50 million males, teenagers, and boys that are included in that category. And females is the 40 million. Women, teenagers, and girls fall into that category.
Whoa, you say teenagers?
Oh, yeah. We see teenagers and children as well.
Wow, this is a serious situation here. If it's untreated, especially the younger you are, as adults, we can hopefully we'll have sense enough to address the issues. But kids don't know what's really going on unless their parents make an observation of, hey, something is wrong with your hair. You should not be losing your hair at 13 years old.
Right. In some cases, yes, the parents will definitely seek, assistance for their child due to the bullying, the low self-esteem issues, and depression that could also are major factors with children.
This is the second time you said that psychological issues cause problems with your hair scalp. The second time, I mean, how closely are the two?
Well, I said low self-esteem. Because
right.
When teenagers...
That's a psychological issue.
When they're around their peers, that can be a factor. Not in all cases, but in all cases. That low self-esteem because their hair doesn't look like their friends. And then the depression can also be that, and then I stated the bullying.
And that's a serious sociological issue, as well as an educational issue. And what I'm trying to figure out, how does these different components affect our scalp and our hair?
Well, you're talking about two different things there. When we talk about hair loss, that's one thing. And then when we talk about scalp conditions, that's different. In many cases, a person does have a combination. Again, with the scalp, that could be the dry, flaky, oily, itchy scalp, inflammation, burning sensation, crawling sensation. Those are symptoms of a scalp condition. When it comes to hair loss, it could be thinning, patchy, baldness. It can be trichotillomania, pulling of the hair. So that's different than a scalp condition.
Okay. So the hair and the scalp are two different aspects. Now, another thing I want to ask you, I see a lot of women.
Okay.
Wear weaves. I see a lot of women wear weaves and wigs.
Yeah.
Do that anyway causes different problems with your scalp or your hair?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of consumers who apply their own type of hair enhancement, I'll call them, that can be a problem because it's done incorrectly. And then sometimes I've seen where professionals have applied the hair weaves and the hair extensions improperly and too tightly. That has also caused problems. So, again, that is a problem as well.
So, when you're treating your patients, are you surprised? Like now you're telling me this information. You're telling me information that I really didn't know about. Are you surprised at how we are not informed about our hair and scalp hygiene or treatment, as you would say?
Some people are educated and they really don't care. They just want that image factor, you know, just cover it up. You know, they don't want to take care of their scalp, take care of their hair. They just want the image factor. And then there are consumers that are very concerned about having a healthy scalp and healthy hair, and they're not trying to do the cover-up, I'll say, as much. You know, they still would like to look nice, but they're not doing the cover-up as much. However, I do see a lot of consumers that they just want that image factor.
Why do you think if a person knows that if I put this weave in my hair, if I put this wig on, that it's going to irritate my scalp or have my hair fall out, and I'm informed about this. If I use this certain grease, which is not good, like back in the 40s and the 50s, young black men were getting their hair processed until they found out it wasn't good for their hair. You know, their hair start falling out after a while.
Right.
Why do we have this image issues when it comes to our hair?
Because of social embarrassment.
Social embarrassment?
Social embarrassment.
Can you go into detail? How can we be embarrassed? Huh?
If a person doesn't look a certain way, someone is going to say something about their hair. You'll see it on social media. I mean, from consumers to celebrities. And, you know, I've paid attention to this cycle over the years. If you see where a person's hair is out of place or if a person doesn't have their hair properly done, someone's going to say something about it. Ooh, I don't know who did her hair, but they sure didn't do it right. or what's wrong with her hair? You know, and then when it comes to the kids, if they're in a store or some other type of athletic activities, some of the children are required to wear ponytails or some type of extensions in order to fit in with that group. I've had several teenagers and children who parents have told me this. If they're a cheerleader, if they're on the drill team, some kind of a step team, those girls are required to get a hair weave to have that certain look. And that's really a bad thing that is being forced on these teenagers and children.
It is. It is. And then they grow up with this negative self-image. And something they have to address all the way, some people all the way into their adulthood.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, historically, now, I don't know if I'll go into being into stereotypes. I try to stay away from stereotypes now. I grew up with a mom. I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her sisters, it seemed like, and I'm going to keep it in my culture, but it appears, because I'm not a woman, and men do too, but not to the certain effect that women. How come, I know it's the image and everything, but how come we are Black women, I mean, Black women is the number one consumer of hair products in America. How come Black women are so emotionally occupied with their hair?
You know, Kenneth, from my observations, and my feedback that I've received from women over the years, some women, they love the versatility, okay?
Okay.
So they may want to wear a short look one day, then they come day they want it medium length, the next day they want it down their back. So some women are very, very versatile where they don't like the same hairstyle for a very long period of time. And then there are some that like to change every week. They'll change their style every week because they want some versatility. And so that is one of the reasons why the consumers of hair extensions and hair products is very, very, very well supported, I'll put it that way. By the African-American.
They make a lot of money. They make a lot of money off of us.
Yeah.
Very lucrative business. And in fact, we used to be the business owners. We used to be number one in that business and everything. And now other cultures have taken over. Now we're just a consumer. I know I'm getting off the subject, but it's
you're
a lot
about
of
the hair care products. The hair care products?
Hair care.
Yes, a lot of them did sell out. And, yes, definitely that market used to be dominated by African Americans, but most of them did sell. And I think that was the goal of the Chinese, was to buy out as many African American companies as possible, and they did succeed.
Yes, they did. Now, it's again, I don't want to be stereotypical. Again, I'm trying not to be. I would go by what I see and what I've been seeing for years. And as you speaking, and I'm thinking back, I say, wow, that's the reason why we behave like that when it comes to our hair. How about, is there any difference between men and women when it comes to hair?
Mm-hmm. And now, Yes, and now with the men, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. You're about to answer it.
Okay, now with the male market, a lot of men have the option of getting a non-surgical hair replacement. That has actually evolved also compared to how it used to be available. So you'll see celebrities now and even consumers, they can get this non-surgical hair replacement that looks very natural to cover that male pattern baldness. And it's available in different textures now, not just natural. They can get wavy textures, even locks. I've seen it available in locks for men who want longer look. Yeah. So the grooming for men has really evolved, I would say, in the last 3 years. We've seen a lot more hair systems, some people call it, or man weaves, some people call it.
Yeah, I heard of man weave.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard
but
of that.
That a lot of men, yes, have gravitated to that because they want to look youthful.
Well, that's the reason why. Well, I thought it was just another fashion statement. You know, I've been getting the same haircut. I've been getting the same haircut since I was 11 years old. So really, this is really out of my lane. Before we go on, can you provide information to your website and how anybody's interested and need information can contact you?
Absolutely. I have a passion and a purpose to assist as many consumers as possible. You can contact me at 817-265-8854. I repeat, 817-265-8854. And please visit our website at hairandscalpessentials.com. hairandscalpessentials.com.
So, Dr. Emerson, when you go on radio and we go on television, do you discuss this or do you discuss other issues besides the hair and the scalp?
I actually include a variety of different topics to educate my listening audience. We do always include information about tips on hair care and scalp care, and also our annual scholarship, and I'll talk about our 2018 scholarship momentarily. But we cover a variety of different topics, such as I've had someone, Dr. Kennedy, who was an autism specialist. So we've talked about the correlation of alopecia and autism. Many consumers do not know that there is a correlation there. We've also discussed animals with alopecia. Not only humans are affected with alopecia, they're also animals.
Oh, okay.
We've also discussed the history of black hair care. We did a series about the tattoo industry. So some individuals, when they have alopecia, they choose to have their scalp tattooed. Some of them have the henna tattoo, which can be beautifully designed on their scalp, and then some choose the permanent tattoo. And there are different reasons for that and different designs. So we had a series on the tattoo industry, and that was very interesting. That was the four-part series. So those are just a few examples of some of the topics that we have included.
Now, you say you have a scholarship fund. Can you go into that?
Absolutely. We believe in paying it forward. So because we have a passion to help children who are affected with alopecia, we began a scholarship back in 2012. So this is our fifth year, and we are giving away a scholarship to CAP Kids, which is symbolic of the Children's Alopecia Project. this organization has been around for at least 7 years, to my knowledge, and it's a couple, Jeff and Betsy Wyatovich, that started this organization because the daughter, Madison, was diagnosed with alopecia totalis. So I've had Madison on my radio show, and I've written an article about her as well as her parents. So I'm very well connected with that organization. And so I'm giving a scholarship, and they provide a camp in August. And this camp is open to all children who are affected with alopecia. And it seems to be growing annually. But I have had other teenagers who have written essays to also receive my scholarship. So that has been in the past. So that's just my way of paying it forward to help a child who is affected with alopecia, to help them with coping skills while they're going through that.
So do you... what's your passion, the children or women?
My passion is anyone affected with alopecia, men, okay. Women, and children.
Men, women, and children. Okay. You just want to treat that. How come it's not worldly known like other disorders?
Well, you know, society, again, is so image-focused. They really don't want to talk about it very much. That's why I believe it's not as widely known as some of the other conditions, such as cancer awareness. You know, everybody mm-hmm. knows about breast cancer awareness because that's a medical condition.
Every October, we wear the pink.
That's right.
Every October, I put a pink ribbon I wear every day for the month of October.
Okay. Well, September is National Alopecia Awareness Month. So the color for that is royal blue.
Oh, royal blue, huh? Oh, okay.
Royal blue. So I always try to do something during the month of September for awareness. And I did begin a cruise with a purpose back in 2012, and so far I've only done two, and I'm still having to get people acclimated to what is alopecia and, you know, what is your purpose. So I've had to kind of start doing more of the education factor of it, so that's what I have been doing. But I still continue with the scholarships, but the cruise component, some people, they still don't see that correlation. But I'm still working on it.
Wow, we just got to get that message out there because, like any other disorder, it has its long-term effects.
Yeah.
You know, is it generational?
Not in all cases.
Okay.
There are some genetic factors, but again, there are over 100 different categories of alopecia.
Over 100 different categories. Okay.
Yes, there are over 100 categories. So
now,
that's
you throw some numbers at, I'm a numbers guy too. What got me was 90 mil. I'm a numbers guy. I love search numbers. And now you said over 100 different categories? And you know what, Doc? This is the first time I'm hearing of this. And I don't think I'm the only one.
Right. Okay.
And we have to really, really get that. If I know there are people out there that have this condition that we know that have condition. What type of products should we stay away from concerning our hair scalp? Because I grease my hair. I don't want to know about you. I guess I'm lucky I haven't been using the wrong grease. But what kind of stuff we should stay away from?
I would suggest avoid products where people are making their own products at home in the kitchen, because you don't know the stability of that product. They don't know how mixing certain products together can actually be a stimulant to become a chemical. And they're just really trying to be a kitchen chemist. And they really need to stay out of that lane. You know, stay in your lane and don't be trying to mix up a lot of things in the kitchen.
Wow. Well, Doctor, it has been certainly informative. And again, I thank you. I really thank you for coming on my show. And I know we're going to get a lot of downloads. And I know people, you know, sometimes my listening audience just really just want to hear the information. But I really thank you, Dr. Emerson, for coming on the show. Again, I was honored, and you taught me a lot in these few minutes.
Great, great. Thank you again so much for having me. May I repeat?
I will see you on the 17th, right?
Say that again?
I will see you on the 17th, right?
Absolutely. You will be on my show
at 11:15 a.m.
Absolutely. Please tune in on Ask the Hair and Scalp Doctor on DFWI Radio. And I will have as my guest Mr. Kenneth Jones.
All right. Doctor, thank you again.
You're very welcome.
And I look forward to coming on your show on the 17th.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. You have a good day. Good night.
You too. Wow. Hey, folks, I didn't know. I really didn't know that 90 million people are infected with this disease. Allegory, it's so long, I don't even know how to pronounce it, because I'm not going to mispronounce it, but hair scalp condition, okay? And when you listen to this, I want you to pay attention to the causes and what not to do. So people, listen to Dr. Emerson very, very closely. Okay, with that, that's all for this evening, folks. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. See?